All things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do, verse 13, be there. And then look at verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So Jesus Christ is greater than humans. He's greater than the angels. He's also greater than all humans, because we could pick one of the greatest humans that there is, Moses, greater than Moses, by a factor of man being greater than the house that man built. Also, we see that he's greater than us because he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Moses sinned. I sin. You sin. We all sin. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But Jesus Christ was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. So Jesus Christ came to this earth and had the opportunity to sin, and he had temptations presented to him that would have given him an opportunity to sin, and yet he was without sin. Unlike us, who are constantly giving in to sin and committing sin, coming short, we are not perfect. Jesus is the only one who's perfect. Even though he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. You don't want to misunderstand the word tempt there. When it says he was tempted, it doesn't mean that he thought to himself, like, maybe I should do this. That's not what that means, because that's a different meaning of the word tempt, okay? Because we would sometimes say, like, you know, I was kind of tempted to have a second ice cream. And we constantly give in, amen? You know? Can I get a witness? So, you know, that's how we would use the word tempted. Like, I was tempted means, like, I thought about it, I wanted to do it. Obviously, Jesus did not have wicked thoughts or envious thoughts, or he wouldn't be without sin. If Jesus was kind of like, you know, then that's a sin in and of itself. When you're kind of just thinking about doing stuff and you know, hey, look, if you lust after an ice cream in your heart, you've committed gluttony already in your heart. No, I'm just kidding. I'm joking. But anyway, the point, I'm not trying to create some new doctrine with that, okay? It was a joke. I want some ice cream right now, actually. Who's going for ice cream afterward? No, I'm just kidding. So, when it says he's tempted in all points, the word tempt in the Bible often means to test or to try. And it's from the same root word as our English word attempt. You know, if we're going to make an attempt, it means we're going to try something. So this is sort of like when the Bible says that God tempted Abraham, it means that God tested him. You know, he put a situation in front of him where he's being tested. What is he going to do? That was God tempting Abraham. But then the Bible tells us elsewhere that God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So when the Bible says that God does not tempt any man, it means God doesn't try to entrap man like, hey, are you sure you don't want to do this? Because that's another meaning of tempt, right? Like when Satan is trying to tempt Jesus, like, hey, why don't you do something stupid? And Jesus tells him, get thee hence, Satan. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You know, and basically what we see is that tempt can either mean, you know, to dangle something in front of somebody. And if I'm tempted, it means I'm thinking about doing it. That's not what we're talking about here with Jesus. Tempt in this case is being put in a situation where the wrong thing is right in front of you and you have the opportunity to do wrong. And you say, no, I'm not going to do wrong. I'm going to do right. That's what the Bible's saying. And the way that Jesus was tempted is that he was put in positions where he's hungry, he's thirsty, he's tired. He went through the entire human experience. And so there are all kinds of opportunities to sin. There are all kinds of people that would put sin in front of you. I mean, do you really think that Jesus went through his whole life without seeing something that was wrong? It's impossible to walk through this world without seeing wrong things. I mean, if Jesus Christ were alive today, in Phoenix, Arizona, you know, he's going to see things that aren't right. He's going to see maybe an inappropriate billboard, or he's going to see a magazine cover. He's going to see these things because they're just in front of us. And I guarantee, and there's nothing new under the sun. I'm sure that he saw things that were wrong and saw temptations or opportunities to sin or things that, you know, the flesh would want to do that are against God. But Jesus Christ didn't take the second look. Jesus Christ didn't covet those things or look with lust on those things or think about, hey, maybe I will just steal this thing that doesn't belong to me or something. Although I guarantee you there were situations, we've all been in situations where something was available to steal. You know, where somebody just leaves something somewhere and there it is, some expensive item or cash or whatever, and it's just right there. And it's like, hey, I could steal this and get away with it, right? That's a temptation. It doesn't mean that you're thinking about doing it. Because I could be in a situation where there's money sitting there and I have an opportunity to take it and no one's ever going to know. But that doesn't mean that for one second the thought crosses my mind of actually taking it. But there's an opportunity there. Now, if you stop and sit and think, you know, you're already sinning at that point because it's lust and covetousness and whatever. You know, Jesus didn't have those kind of thoughts. But I guarantee you, Jesus was in situations where, you know, somebody left some coins laying there or whatever. And, you know, maybe, you know, you could use your imagination. Obviously, this is just completely made up fiction fantasy. But you could use your imagination of a situation where, you know, somebody overpays Joseph doing carpentry or whatever, and he could have just skimmed off the top and put some money in, but then instead he says, hey, sir, here's your change or whatever, instead of just keeping it. So that's a totally made-up story. But you get the idea. We all have stuff like that in our life where we're tested. What am I going to do the right thing or am I going to do the wrong thing? Jesus was tested like that, but he was totally without sin. So he did not flinch. He did not do any of those things. Now, obviously, it's because Jesus is of a superior nature. It's not that Jesus just tried really hard, you know, and I guarantee you that he struggled and went through difficult things and hard things. But here's the thing, it's not like I could just try super hard and never sin. And there are people out there trying to do that. Every time they have a bad thought, they're flogging themselves and just doing all these meditations and doing all these austerities and trying to kind of beat their will into submission. But we are incorrigible. The old man can't be fixed. That's why every day we got to put off the old man, put on the new man. But that's a daily thing. We've got to die daily. We've got to crucify the flesh daily. We got to walk in the Spirit daily.